Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. What if we undefine the traditional roles and traits of masculinity and men could realize their potential without any constraints? Author Justin Baldoni, known for his starring role in the CW series Jane the Virgin, is here to tell us about his new book, Man Enough, Undefining My Masculinity. The book is both a personal investigation into the current state of masculinity and a meditation on how to be human in the 21st century. Drawing from his own experience, traversing the winding road of growing up male in America, the struggle to be confident enough, smart enough, and successful enough, Baldoni's ultimate goal is to share the connection and joy that can be found for anyone who identifies as male on the journey away from enough. A journey instead to a masculinity that is undefined, complex, sensitive, open, and rooted in the connection between the head and the heart. The name of the book is Man Enough, Undefining My Masculinity, and we welcome Justin Baldoni to the Roundtable. How are you, sir?
Hey, man. So nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you. Thanks very much for being with us. I appreciate it. Your line's a little fuzzy, so if I have to ask you to repeat, I hope you don't mind. Let's start with how you came to this particular subject of wanting to write. Well, I mean, you write a lot about yourself in this book of why this was important for you to lay out on the table.
Yeah. First of all, can you hear me okay now?
Yeah, that's better.
All right. So, this was just a culmination of asking myself a lot of questions over the course of my life. You know, I think all of us men, I think humans really, we find ourselves in situations throughout our lives where we are maybe acting a little bit different than we feel. And we find ourselves in situations where, you know, we maybe puff out our chest in front of a certain person, or we say something we don't mean. And oftentimes we don't really reflect on why that is. And for me, over the course of my life as a boy and then as a man, I often found myself living in conflict with who I wanted to be, who I felt like I was supposed to be, who I felt like I was, versus who I felt the world was telling me that I had to be in order to be accepted, in order to feel good enough, to feel strong enough, to feel masculine enough. And I hurt a lot of people, but more importantly, I hurt myself, which in turn caused me to hurt people over the course of my life. And I'm young, I'm 37. I got married, 8 years ago. I have two young kids, and I wanted to end that cycle. I wanted to figure out what it was that was perpetuating this strange cycle of not ever feeling enough in whatever situation I was in, and needing to prove my enoughness via masculinity. And that's why I started asking these questions, and I quickly realized that there's an entire system at play, and it was so much more about socialization. And I wasn't able to talk to anybody about it. And so many of my friends were suffering, and so many of the people I know were suffering, so many of the women I know were suffering with the men in their lives, and nobody was willing to talk about it. And that's kind of what led me on this rather scary journey of talking about undefining what it means to be a man.
I was struck by what you said at the beginning of your response to my first question, which was that there was a contrast in what you of the man that you wanted to be and the man that you were expected to be. Where do you think you learned and how you define the man that you wanted to be? Because that's the seed, isn't it?
Well, the man that I want to be and wanted to be is a human. I want to be a human. I want to be a full, well-rounded person, a human that is able to express what he feels, is able to say what he means and mean what he says, is able to allow myself to feel sad when I'm sad, or angry when I'm angry.
Yeah.
Laugh when I want to laugh, feel joyful when I'm joyful. And I can't even tell you how many times, and I'd be curious actually what you think for your life, but how many times I have wanted to express something but felt like I couldn't. Felt like I wasn't able to, wanted to reach out and ask for help, but felt like I shouldn't, because in doing that, I would overthink it. Oh, maybe they won't take it that way. Maybe he'll see me differently. Maybe oh, no, you know what? I'm going to deal with this one on my own. You know, the way that we're taught that we have to go at it on our own. That's the greatest myth of masculinity, right? That we have to do it alone. And so the kind of man I want to be also is a spiritual man. I was raised in the Baha'i faith. I believe that all of us are one. I believe in one planet, one people. Baha'u'llah says that we're the fruits of one tree and the leaves of one branch. I believe in the true equality of women and men. And so I was raised in a way that it encouraged me to take that journey from my head to my heart. But somewhere along the way, probably 5 to 8 years old, I was told that I had to sever that connection if I wanted to survive. And that's where we are now.
Yeah. So what was that like in growing up? Were you bullied as a kid?
I was, but that's the thing. That's the thing about being a man, right? You're bullied as a kid, and then how do you get over it? You bully. That's masculinity, right? I talked in the book about one day I was tied to the goalpost, right? I was hazed as a freshman, and then another day I was tying someone else to the goalpost. And so, I remember a lot of instances where I, you know, was out in the world and out in school and terrified, scared. I remember hiding. I remember taking different alternative paths to class because I knew if I walked that way, then I was going to get picked on, or this guy was going to follow me and try to trip me or be called names. And then what do we do in this system? We figure out how to make ourselves feel better by finding somebody else that we then obviously can exert power and dominance over. And that's the chain. That's the cycle.
And do you feel that when you look at that cycle, that there is, there are the kids that aren't getting bullied, but so what's going on in their lives?
The kids that aren't getting bullied?
Yeah.
It's a good question. I think that in general, people have a feeling of, whether they're bullied or not, constantly comparing themselves to a standard that is impossible to reach.
Right.
And even in the moments where I wasn't bullied, the moments where I exuded confidence in my life, even as a young man, there's a constant recalibration of whether or not I am living up to the impossible standard of being a man today or being a boy today. Am I athletic enough? Am I smart enough? Am I confident enough? Do the girls like me? Right? At the end of the day, it all comes down to these basic needs. If you identify as straight, as an example, your worth is based on maybe the amount of friends you have, the sports that you play, your grades, or whether or not the girls like you. And all of these things are external. None of these things are internal. So therefore, we're basing our enoughness based on what the perceived value is of our socialization, what we're taught it means to be enough. So even if you're not bullied, you still have your own version of that feeling like you don't measure up to a certain extent.
Right. You don't measure up, and that it's difficult to often get through the day. Where do you think as kids, and I'll ask this in your experience, of where your parents came into that, and was there pressure on you from them, or were they a solace as to when you got home that you could be yourself?
That's a great question. I think all of us to a certain extent, no matter how awesome our parents are, have been messed up by our parents. And all of us
check
are going to then in turn mess up our kids, right? So it's what I go to therapy about. But every generation can become a little bit better, and there's hope there. You know, for me, I learned so much of this from my dad. That said, my dad was a very sensitive and emotional man. But there's a difference between being emotional and vulnerable. And just last night, I had this amazing, hard conversation with my dad because we're still trying to work through some of these things that I've learned from him and that he learned from his dad, and we're working on our relationship because he's realizing to this day that he hasn't shown me. He still hasn't shown me who he is, and he's working towards it. Mm. And I put up my walls with my dad, these invisible walls that at some point, you know, we build as young boys because we're not allowing our dads in anymore. Like, our dads were the ones that wiped our asses and changed our diapers and, you know, taught us how to pee and all these things. We cuddled with our dads. We gave our dads kisses. And at some point, society tells us that it's not manly to be emotional or affectionate with our fathers anymore. And so we put up those walls with our parents, and they put up those walls with us. So it's something that my dad and I are working through right now. But even as a kid, I didn't feel like I could be truly vulnerable with my parents. So even in getting bullied, and even in my coming home and crying about things, there was an element of my parents telling me, "Oh, they're just jealous." Oh, and it was always just on somebody else.
Right.
And there wasn't truly space to be held with what it felt like to feel like you weren't enough, to what it felt like to be told that, you know, there was something wrong with me, or that one other kid didn't like me. I didn't understand, and they didn't have the language to explain to me that, no, maybe it's not just about their jealousy. It's about the fact that nobody feels like they're enough, and it's in the pursuit of enoughness that other people make other kids feel bad or less than. And they didn't have the vocabulary to tell me that, so I internalized all of it. And it became about me not being enough. They don't like me. So then you grow up and you want people to like you. It's a natural thing. You want people to accept you. We're all in this relentless pursuit over the course of our lives to be loved, to be seen as full human beings, to be liked. And so, you know, they perpetuated some of the same stuff, which was they didn't have a dialogue. They did their best to hold it, but they never allowed me to be truly vulnerable. And that got even worse as I got older, because in high school, when you're dealing with all the things that high schoolers deal with, boys deal with, when you talk about sex and porn and discovering your bodies and all of these things, there's no space to talk to your parents about that stuff because culture has told us that that's taboo and there's shame around it. And so where do we turn to as boys? And then that perpetuates a whole news cycle, right? Then we're getting into sexism and sexual abuse and consent and pornography and all kinds of stuff there. At the end of the day, it comes down to, and I do this when I talk to kids a lot, there's an exercise that I do where I to ask all the kids to close their eyes. And so all these kids, there's 100, 200 kids in a room, they all close their eyes, and I ask them if they feel like they fit in. And if they don't feel like they fit in, to raise their hands. And one by one, every single hand in the room goes up. Even the bullies, even the kids who are bullied. And then I ask all of them to open their eyes. And what do we find? We find that nobody feels like they fit in. Nobody feels like they're enough, even the ones who act like they do. And I would argue that as adults, if we could really strip it down, and I could do the same thing with every person in the world, the majority of the people would say they don't feel like they measure up. They don't feel like they're enough, women or men or trans folks. And that's what this comes down to. Specifically for men, it's the journey of understanding that they are already enough and undefining masculinity to make room for anybody who identifies as a man to feel like they are a man and to feel enough because of their innate worthiness as human beings, so that we can stop trying to prove ourselves, stop trying to prove our masculinity, because our masculinity is innate. It's not something that can be withheld or taken away. It's in us.
Justin Baldoni is our guest. The name of the new book is Man Enough, Undefining My Masculinity. So over this time for you, what has gone into that undefining?
A lot of questions, a lot of whys, if you will. You know, I talk in the book about the why ladder, which is asking ourselves why multiple times, and we can do that in a lot of different areas of our lives. For me, you know, one of the fundamental truths of the Baha'i faith has taught me to independently investigate truth for myself and not take truth just because somebody else tells me it's true. To investigate it so that it plants a seed in my heart, and that seed can then grow and be fertilized. And so part of undefining masculinity for me means asking questions of myself and of the world around me. Does this serve me? Why did I say that? Why did I do that? You know, I kind of joked in my TED Talk about early on discovering that I was interrupting my wife quite a bit. And she's sitting next to me right now. We're actually in the car. And I would be interrupting my wife, and she wouldn't say anything for a long time because she spent her entire life being interrupted by men. Well, here I am as a quote-unquote public figure advocating been amplifying the voices of women. And she was like, hold on, this doesn't sit right with me. You're doing that out there, but inside here, you're interrupting me. Like, you don't let me finish thoughts. What's going on? And I wasn't even aware of it, because as men, we're taught from an early age that our voices are louder and should be used, and in many ways matter more than women. So I had to ask myself these questions. Where the heck did I learn to do this? Was it from my dad? Was it from other men? Was it from movies? Was it from TV shows? Is it just me? And I realized that so much of this is learned, socialized behavior. So little by little, she would let me know, and I would catch myself. And then she didn't have to remind me. I would just catch myself on my own. And it's about asking questions. It's about planting that seed and then figuring out why you're doing it and then reversing it. It's unlearning. It's the same conversation we have around anti-racism. It's socialized behavior, asking the questions of where it comes from, and then being willing to sit in the discomfort of the truth of maybe us not being perfect, of not placating to our fragile male egos, and saying, all right, well, one thing I know about being a man is that I've been told my whole life that I should be on that pursuit direction. I should strive to acquire all these great qualities and stand in my truth and be a man. And that also means that I have to do it and be a man in unlearning all the behavior, all of my misogynistic, sexist behavior, because that also makes me a real man. I can use those same qualities that I was taught made me a real man to go deeper and dig into my heart and unlearn. And that's the journey that I'm on now.
So then your chosen profession is that of an actor, where you are paid to be somebody else, which I think would just screw everything up.
Well, if you really think about us men, oftentimes we are always somebody else.
Yeah.
So it was quite perfect, right? I mean, how many times I remember being single and trying on all the different masks of masculinity, like all the different ways, all the different types of men that I thought I should be based on kind of response I wanted to have from a woman. I mean, I've been every single man. I've at the end of the day, I think all of us men go through that, because we always are trying to find out who we are. And eventually we find ourselves, hopefully, before we die. So in acting, it was really interesting, because I was really just doing what I was doing in my life, which is playing different people. Now, that said, you know, my real chosen profession is a filmmaker.
Right.
Acting was a bit of a means to an end for me. But I oftentimes were cast in roles that I never saw myself as, because I was a bit of an ugly duckling growing up. So I never had that confidence. I was never the, like, hot guy, the masculine, strong guy. I was always the guy that had more girlfriends than guy friends, but I could still kick ass on the field or in the gym. I didn't feel that way about myself. So actually what was interesting about it was playing these tougher roles, playing these date rapists or all these things, was very hard for me, because it was so different than me. So it's been a very interesting journey.
Well, it's a fascinating book and a fascinating subject, and I thank you very much for bringing it to our attention and for sharing with us this morning. The name of the book, Man Enough, Undefining My Masculinity. It is published by Harper One. Justin Baldoni, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.